real blessing. Thank you. Everybody, Sherry, thank you for playing. I don't take that for granted. I'm not saying it because I have to. Thank you. Hannah, thank you. Don't you, Sherry? Hannah. Jeanette, thank you. Don't you, Jeanette? I thank you. Thank you, Gabe, for leading the singing. And thank you for that hymn. It's difficult. It's difficult to do. Thank you. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Brother Tom and I laugh at one another. We often say this, that whatever Scripture we're dealing with at the time is our favorite passage of Scripture. Especially the Psalms. That's my favorite Psalm. Whatever we're dealing with at the time. And this story, we've looked at it many times. And well, right now, this is just my favorite story. Story of our Lord Jesus Christ's transfiguration, or when He revealed Himself as He really is to His disciples. Read with me verses 28 through 32. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw His glory and the two men that stood with Him. This is the gospel. This is salvation. For the Lord Jesus Christ to show you His glory. This is eternal life, He said, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent, to behold His glory. That's what John said. We just read it, didn't we? We beheld His glory. Oh, may we behold His glory this morning. May someone behold His glory who's never seen it. And may all who have see it again and again. Verse 28 says, now it says, after 8 days, He took Peter and James and John. It came to pass after these sayings, 8 days after these sayings, He'd been talking to them, He'd been speaking to His disciples, and He said some things. Go back to verse 18. Look at this. It came to pass He was alone praying. His disciples were with Him, and He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, some Elias, others say one of the old prophets. He said unto them, of whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. Whom do men say that I am? Now, you've heard me say this before, that if someone called me the reincarnation of John the Baptist, that would be the highest honor. One I'm not worthy of. Or Elijah, or one of the old prophets, Samuel. Oh my. I'm not worthy of such a high honor as those men I esteem so highly. But this was not a high honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't a compliment to Him. They were putting Him, people had Him on the same level as Moses and Elijah and so forth. Oh, He's much higher than that. We've got to see Him much higher than that. Remember when Paul or whoever wrote the Hebrews said, we see Jesus. We see a man who came to this earth named Jesus, made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. God was manifest in the flesh. Why? To die. To live as a man. To establish righteousness. Fulfill the law for His people. And to die on the cross as a substitute for His people. That's why He became a man. Okay? And that's all most people saw was a man. But not His people. He reveals that this He's more than a man. He went on to say, we see Him crowned with glory and honor. High and lifted up. The train, His whole train fills the temple. Holy, holy, holy. So it'd be a compliment to me. And most people say good things about Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that. But it's not good enough. And I know that when God does finally show a person who Christ really is, when the Spirit shows someone who Christ really is, they'll quit calling Him Jesus. And they'll start like the disciples calling Him Lord. Lord. All right. So, after these sayings, you see that? After these sayings, verse 27, He asked them, whom do you say? He said to them, who do you say that I am? And in verse 27, He said to them, He said, I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. That's something He said after these sayings. Some are standing here, and there's some in here who've seen the kingdom of God. You've lived to see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not a place. Didn't our Lord say that? The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's within you. Christ in you. Christ revealed in you. Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, His glory, His honor, King of kings. Lord of lords. Kingdom of God is not a place, it's a person. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's a person. He's the meat and drink. Here's how you know if somebody really has seen His glory and the kingdom's within them. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But God's people, they're not concerned with a place. They want to go be with Him. Who loved us and be in His presence, something. Doesn't matter where we are. And I've said before, that's the reason the streets are made of gold. So we don't care that the streets are pure gold. Because we're with Him. With Him. Kingdom of God is not a doctrine. It's a person. It's the dominion of the King. It's to be under the dominion of the King. Kingdom of God is not of this world. That's a lot of people ignorantly waiting on them to rebuild a temple over there in Jerusalem. Well, keep waiting. And if they did build it, it doesn't matter. The Lord would tear it down. Temple of God's His church. Christ's not going to come and sit in another temple. No. He's right now seated in His temple. He's in His temple. His people. His people. It's a spiritual kingdom. Isn't it? Doesn't come with observation. It's within you. Person. First, kingdom of God came to earth and His name is Jesus Christ. King of kings. Lord of lords. These men saw the kingdom of God before they died. They saw the King Himself. The King showed Himself. Glorious. Them. Verse 28. So after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James. After these sayings, He said, some of you are going to see the kingdom. In just a few minutes, three of them were going to. He took Peter, James, and John. Who chose who? He chose these three men, Peter, James, and John, to do what? To show them His glory. To show them His glory. I love that passage in Mark 3 that says, He went up into a high mountain and sat down. And He called unto Himself whom He would. He said, I'm the shepherd. I call my sheep. He sat down and he called whom he would. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, whom he predestinated, he called. You see your calling, brethren, don't you? How God chose. God chose. God chose. God called. He called whom he would. And what does it say? They came to him. They came. I'm so glad salvation is by command. I'm so glad that the shepherd left the 99 and came to this one lost sheep in the wilderness and found me and called me by his grace and put me on his shoulder and is going to carry me all the way home and never let me down. Never let me down. Aren't you? He took Peter, James, and John. And the Lord chooses whom he will, whom he would, to show them his salvation. Show them his glory. Listen to this in Isaiah 43. This is my favorite chapter in Isaiah. Listen to this. He said, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, beside me there's no Savior. I have declared and I have saved. I have showed there's no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. I've chosen you to know me. And that's the only way we're going to know him, is if he makes himself known to us. All right, look at it. It says this. They went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment white and glistening. The Lord of glory, Jehovah God, whom no man hath seen or can see, the unseen God, was seen. The unseen God was manifest in the flesh. He was the express image of God, the only image, bodily image of God Almighty. God Almighty, the Father, took an image. And his image is Jesus Christ. He was made flesh. Men back then didn't believe him that he was God. They didn't know him. They didn't believe him. They just saw a man, right? They just saw a man. And even today, many, if not most, believe in, if you will, that man who came here named Jesus, humanitarian and this and that and the other, you know, good works and so forth, and they admire him and so forth, but they really don't believe that that man is God, was and is God. And I'm not sure if the disciples really knew up to this point. Okay, they're going to, because this is eternal life. They're going to see it. And the only way we're going to know is if he shows us his glory. As of the only begotten of the Father. God manifest in the flesh. We've got to see him as he is. God. Because only God can forgive sin. Only God can save us. I love that Isaiah 25. That's my favorite chapter. It says, this is our God. We've waited on him. He'll save us. The Jews of old knew. They believed, at least, that the Messiah who was coming was God. Isn't it, Brother Tom? That's who they were looking for. God's going to come. Emmanuel, God with us, is going to come to this earth. Well, he came to his own, the Jews, those he made. God, who? His own. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Who? God. And he came and said, you're just a man. You said this on the radio. I said, you're just a man. You make yourself God. Oh, you got it all backwards. Your understanding is all wrong. He's God. He made himself a man. And the way He's going to have to show us, for us to really look to Him, for us to be saved, look unto Me and be ye saved, I'm God. The only way we're going to really look to Him and believe Him is if He shows us He's God, our Savior. Because only God can save us. Huh? No man can do that but the God man. And I love this. My favorite chapter in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, John's 2. God, who caused the light to shine out of darkness, miraculously, mysteriously said, let there be light. That same God, who is light, hath shined in our hearts, the hearts of His people, His chosen, like Peter, James, and John, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is that? In Jesus Christ, the face of Jesus Christ. So He took Peter, James, and John up on this mountain to show them the glory of His person, the glory of His work, the glory that He had with the Father before the world began, and the glory we shall see throughout eternity. Verse 30. Behold, there talked with Him two men. And when the Lord, it says His fashion, His countenance was altered, He doesn't change. The Lord doesn't change. The Lord had this physical, fleshly body that was a robe, as it were, to cover His deity. God, who's a consuming fire. God, who dwelleth in light, no man can approach unto. He didn't change, but He had His deity clothed, robed, He in a plain brown wrapper, and He peeled that back for these three men to see. See, and like that. Remember that tabernacle in the wilderness? What was the outer covering of that tabernacle in the wilderness? Badger skin. Brown, rough, common badger skin. Anybody passing by, Hivites, Jebusites, all these ites went by, Arminians passing by, could see no glory in that. What? That's just an old brown tent. There ain't nothing to that. Oh, you hadn't seen the inside of it. But John and his people, his priests, were allowed on the inside. What did they say? Shekinah glory. The glory of God. The only place where God dwells. And so it was with the Lord. He robed Himself in this this skin and this flesh, and they couldn't see His glory. But He took these three chosen men to see who He really is. And His countenance was altered, His raiment white and glistening. They saw Him as the sun that shineth in all His strength. John tried to describe Him, didn't he? In Revelation 1. He can't do it. In verse 30, and there talked with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, two men, which were Moses and Elias. Moses and Elijah appeared with Him. My. Moses and Elijah. Moses, the lawgiver. The lawgiver. The law came through Moses. Elijah, the prophet. What were they doing there? They were bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to those disciples. To Him give all the prophets witness. The law is written. Moses wrote of Me, Christ saith. They were there to bear witness of Him. They talked with the Lord. They talked with the Lord. They bore witness. What were they talking about? Moses came from glory. Elijah came from glory to talk with on the mountain there with the Lord Jesus Christ. What was this conversation? Huh? What were they talking about? Same thing angels desire to look into. The subject of heaven right now. The subject of those on earth right now who are His people. The subject of subject. This whole subject of the Scripture. Look at it. Verse 31. They appeared in glory and spake of His decease which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Stay with me. They spoke of his death, his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And our Lord, I quoted it, Moses wrote of me, he said, the law, all the law, you know what all the law speaks of? Everything in the law talked about God being holy, and man's broke that law, and he needed an atonement. Right? You got to have a sacrifice. Blood without the shedding of blood. Isn't that all through the law? Blood, lamb, without the shedding of blood, no remission. God, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you the law. This is witnessed by the law. The atonement of Christ. The death of Christ. Elijah, to him give all the prophets witness. They are they which testify of me, Christ said, of his glorious, accomplished redemption on Calvary's tree. That's what this whole book is all about. And that's going to be the theme of God's people throughout eternity. It's the theme of the church right now on earth. The sum and substance of the gospel is what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's tree. Isn't it? That's it. Could get no greater, have no grow greater subject than that. The death he should accomplish. Now think about that. When we die, it's not an accomplishment, is it? You've never heard it said of anybody that he died. Well, he did it, didn't he? Oh, he did it. He accomplished it. No, usually we think that it's the end of things we hope to accomplish. Things we wanted to accomplish, we weren't able to. We died. Think about this. Death itself was an accomplishment by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something unavoidable to us. The soul that sinneth must surely die. There is appointed unto man once to die. The Lord's appointed our death. Our bounds are set. We cannot pass, and we're going to meet that, and he's appointed it. And the Lord kills. And we're going to die at his hand through his means. We can't pass it. But the Lord said, Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. This proves who he is. They tried. I love those stories, how they tried, don't they? They grabbed him. You got him? I got him. Let's cast him off the hill. Okay, you got him? I got him. Thought you had him. You can't see that. It's God. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. This I have from my Father. This power I have. I am God. I am life. You can't take my life. You in me, you live and move and have your being. Can't kill God. No man can. In one last, I love this. One last glorious display of who he was, that no man could take him, that he voluntarily, willingly laid his life down, was in that garden. Remember when they came to take him? In that garden they came with swords and stay, a whole mob of people. And he came out and met them, one man. Like Elijah was it that they came out to get. You preached on that. Elisha. And the chariots of fire running. But they came out and said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus. I am. They hit the dust. One last display before he willingly, voluntarily said, now take me. And men ignorantly still say things like this. What will you do with Jesus? Oh my. Here's what you find out. That when God Almighty shows you who Jesus Christ is, you start from that day forward going, what's he going to do with me? That's what the people at Pentecost found out, didn't they? Hey, we got this Jesus fella killed. We've done with this Jesus fella. And the Lord Jesus Christ was preached at, from Pentecost in all his power and his glory, seated on a throne, reigning, ruling. God in whose hands their breath is, the one they rejected. And Peter, after he preached that, sat down and all of them started wailing then. Oh, no, what are we going to do? What's he going to do with us? Will he accept us? Will he have mercy on us? That's the question. That's the saving. Salvation has come when a person realizes that we're in his hands to do with as he pleases. And appeal to him for mercy and forgiveness of sin. Well, death itself was an accomplishment by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my people. When he hung on that cross, willingly, those nails didn't hold him there. And even while hanging on that cross, he was manipulating everything that was going on. He was telling people, the whole disposing thereof was of the Lord. He was telling them what to do to fulfill Scriptures, how that Christ would die according to the Scripture. He was telling those soldiers to part his garment. He was telling them to give him vinegar to drink. He was manipulating the whole thing. This is God. He didn't die as a helpless martyr. Frustrated failure. He's accomplishing something. Scriptures are being fulfilled. You see His glory? That's His glory. His glory, part of His glory was Him hanging there willingly, voluntarily. Being made sin. And then when it was all over, when He cried, "It's finished, accomplished," what does it say? What was it saying? He bowed His head. His head didn't drop. His head didn't roll like that. He bowed His head as one taking a final curtain call. And I know heaven erupted in a standing ovation. Bowed His head. And He even arranged for what would happen to His body after He died. Did He? You're not going to abuse it. It's going to be taken down and laid in the tomb that I chose. And 3 days later, walk it out. Accomplishment. Even death was an accomplishment. But what He did accomplish, this glory is here, the death of Christ, this accomplishment was the full, final, complete, eternal redemption of His people. The atonement of their souls. The payment of their sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to try to save anybody. He came to save His people from their sin. And He accomplished it. Yes, He did. Unto Him that washed us from our sins in His own blood. Didn't try to. He did it. That's His glory. And people take away from His glory when they say He died for all men without exception, and some end up in hell anyway. That is demeaning to Him. Dishonoring to Him. Take away from His glory. Not one blood of Jesus Christ was shed in vain. Not one drop of blood of Him was shed in vain. But it paid the price for every one of God's elect. Particular redemption, particular glory. Yes. Limited atonement, particular redemption of His people. It's His glory. It's not a doctrine to be argued. It's His glory. It's our hope. If you're telling me that the blood of Christ was shed for Judas and he's lost and shed for me, what's the blood of Christ have to do with my salvation? What saves me? Blood of Christ or my decision? My faith. Huh? Oh no, you take away from His glory. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. He gets the glory. My faith is a result of that bloodshed. Everyone for whom Christ died will believe. That's the payment. That's the necessary response of those He died for. Our Lord came to accomplish redemption. He didn't come to do all He could do and then the rest would be up to you. He came to do all that was to be done. Is this not our favorite subject? This is a sinner's favorite. Oh my. And again, it's not doctrine here. We're talking about our hope. Our hope. Our only hope. If the Lord doesn't save me, if the Lord didn't make me righteous, I'm going to end up filthy still. I can't justify myself, can I? Well, he does. Bless her heart. You better believe that. The Lord came to fulfill the law. Did he do it? Why did he do that? To show us how? Oh, no. To do it for his people. To charge it to their account. To reckon. Fulfill the law? Did he do it? Moses stood there and said, accomplished. He said, I've observed you, angels, devils, men. Who charges me with anything, Christ said? The elect. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? God looked at his son and said, I'm well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He's fulfilled my law. A man has glorified me, fulfilling the law for me. Well pleased. He earned heaven. Opened up the gates. This man's walking in on by virtue of his own holiness. Who? A man? Oh, not just any man. It's the King of Glory. But look behind him. A whole bunch of people you can't even number. He got a number. That's who he died for. That's who he did it for. They're coming in with him on the coattail, covered under the robe of his righteousness. It's not just a doctrine. It's his glory. His honor. Accomplished. Moses said, law accomplished. Elijah said, every jot, tittle, every type, symbol, every shadow, every picture, every person, everything in Scripture written of you, accomplished. You did it. You did it. You fulfilled it all. You fulfilled. You are the Christ. No man could have any doubt whatsoever. Accomplished. Accomplished. Tell you what was accomplished there at Calvary. The death of death. The death of death. Accomplished. They spoke of the death he should accomplish. He put an end to death. He said this. He said this to Martha and Mary, didn't it? Lazarus' tomb. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because he died. Substitute. And if Christ died for you, you'll never die. The soul that sinneth must surely die. But all in Christ may live. May live. Why? How? Who? What? Him. Him. The death of death. Put an end to death. Christ came to deliver us from captivity, from the fear of death. All our lifetime we're subject to that bondage. We were talking about this last Sunday, Barbara, weren't we? Fearing death. You know how we'll get over the fear of death? Look into Christ. Just look into Christ. Risen, seated, exalted. He said, I live. You live also. You believe He's alive? You believe Christ is alive? Huh? Right now, reigning and ruling, a real person, alive. He that was dead. And this is what He said in the Revelation. Behold, it's me. I was dead. I'm alive. And He said, He can't lie, He said, because I live, you live also. You won't die when you lay down that body, when the time comes. When that means of your death, what men call death, it's not death. It's not death. We've got this veil of tears, this veil of flesh, this veil we can't see through. If we could just peek through, it's glory, that's what it is, it's glory. We can't see through it. We think, I'm going to leave this, I'm going to leave that. If you can see through anything, I'm not leaving anything. I'm gaining. That's what Paul went there and he said, to die is gain. To stay is loss. If you can just see that, he's got to show us that. Shows us himself. Keep our eyes fixed on him. He's the prize. He's heaven. He's life. He's everything. Keep our eyes. He lives. You need not fear death. It's falling asleep. Waking up in glory. And the older we get, really, the more we ought to look forward to it. That, you know, I'm at the age now where sleep is just a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. It's hard to come by, isn't it? after you reach a certain age. And you just relish it. Relish it. Find myself getting in bed earlier every night. Trying to get some sleep. And the older we get, the more we ought to look forward to falling asleep. It's over. Labor. Sin. Trials, troubles, tribulation. This body of death. This evil, present evil world. Wake up in a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteous people with our husband whom we've come to know and love forever. Be with the Lord. What's not to look forward to? And our Lord said that is a certainty for His people. It's not some cunningly devised fable. That's the truth as it is in Jesus Christ who said this. He can't lie. He rose from the grave and said, I told you. I told you. Fear not. Fear not. Oh my. He accomplished the death of death. Oh my. They saw His glory. It says, but they were asleep. Verse 31, He appeared in glory and spake of His deceit. Verse 32, but Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep. And that, you know, that was us, wasn't it? He is us sometimes. There was a time when all of us, everyone in here, did not see His glory, had no interest in it. We're not just asleep as others, but dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. And God Almighty had to quicken you, didn't He? Had to raise you from the dead. To do what? To see His glory. Give you your blind eyes sight. Give your deaf ears hearing. Give your lame feet to walk in faith and your loosened tongue employ for His service and His thanks. And we've slept as others. We were in darkness even as others, weren't we? Blind even as others. And salvation is a great awakening. Not coming to the knowledge of the doctrines of grace. It's a great awakening. Coming to the knowledge of Him who is grace. The doctrine of Christ. Verse 32. They were asleep. And when they were awake, what did they say? This is it. This is it. And first, when the Lord reveals Himself to a sinner, this is what they'll say. Him. His glory. His glory. His glory. It's all about His glory. Salvation's for His glory. Salvation's about His glory. For us to behold His glory. Didn't our Lord say this in His prayer, John 17? Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. Oh my. If you see anything glorious in this right now, if you see anything in the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you're so blessed. Stephen, blessed art thou, Stephen Bar Parks, Bar Joe. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. The world wants to hear about this. They are of the world, and therefore they speak of the world. That's what the world wants to hear. Give me a health and wealth gospel, you know, this and that and the other. What do God's people who've seen His glory, what do they need to see? Him. Him. My, my. Oh, poor old Simon Peter. Look at this. Verse 33. It came to pass as Moses and Elijah departed from him, Peter said unto him, to Jesus, Master, he called him Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Oh, Peter. I love that man. Simon Peter, I love that man. I'm so thankful the Lord called Simon Peter. Aren't you? Old Simon Peter. We admire men. And we just do. Flesh is impressed with flesh. And there are men I esteem highly. Moses. Really. Moses. Elijah. Ooh. Wonderful men, weren't they? Great men. But they're just men. They're just men. Nobody's to be on an equal level with the Lord Jesus Christ. No man is to be worshipped. No man is to be extolled and honored above the Lord Jesus, or even equal with him. You remember when John fell down at the feet of the angel in the Revelation? To worship him. It was a glorified being, an angel. He didn't know who he was. And we're all going to look like that. But John, being in flesh, saw this glorified being and fell down. And what did the angel say? See thou do it not. Don't worship me. Worship God. I'm of your brethren the prophets. That might have been Moses or Elijah or Samuel. Might have been one of them. Might have been James who was beheaded. Might have been James. No, we don't put men on the same level, on a par with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a name which is above every name. God has made this same Jesus Lord. And we don't call men, that's the reason we don't call men reverend. And Hebrews 12 said we'll be partakers of His holiness. That's a title that only belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, His holiness. And people blasphemously call that fellow up there with a fish on his head His holiness. That's blasphemy. That's Antichrist. That's what that is. Reverend, Father, His holiness. Oh, no. That belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Him alone. And it goes on to say here that verse 34. While he thus spake, and we just talk too much sometimes, don't we? There came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared. The fear of the Lord, you see, is the beginning of wisdom. He needs to shut our mouths and see His glory. And there came a voice out of the cloud, the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." This is He. This is the only one. This is the only one here to look to worship, to come to. Your King, your Prophet, your High Priest, your Mediator, your Substitute, your Covenant Head, your Righteousness, your Savior, your Lord and your Redeemer. This is He. Look to Him. Don't look to Moses in the law. Don't look to the Prophet. Don't look to any man. Look to Him. Hear Him. Hear what He said. And so when that voice left, the voice was passed, all they saw was Christ Himself. And if God Almighty, by His mercy and grace, chooses us to behold His Son from that day forward, we'll see Him as all and in all. All we need. All we need. Okay, brother. Yeah, if you'll come.